Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin Daf Mem Nun Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis at the bottom of the Amid at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah. We begin now Beis Hashem Yisbarach the sugya of Hezek Shein and Nikar. We know that the Torah discusses at great length if somebody damages someone else, what the obligations to pay are. However, the question is, what is considered a situation of mazik, where one damaged someone else? In a situation where there was a hezek shein and nikar, in a situation where it wasn't obvious the damage that was done, is that considered hezek, or is that not considered a situation of hezek? And our Mishnah gives us a number of such examples. Hamatame, if somebody is metame somebody else's produce, as we're going to see in the Gemara. This is relevant both if it's Truma that he was Metame, or if it's Chulin that he was Metame. So it's a Hezek Shein and Nikar, because you can't, the food looks the same both before it became Tame and after it became Tame. Although I did see that the Mefarshim point out that there could be cases where someone was metame food and it's obvious that the food became tame. Let's say somebody put a sheretz into liquid. Well, we know that liquid is always susceptible to becoming tame, and the sheretz always gives off tuma. So this is not a situation of a hezek shein and nikar. Still explains the Ramban, and this is the point that we're trying to make in defining what hezek shein and nikar is. The actual food itself didn't change. Whether it's liquid or solid, that food remains the same, even if there's a sheretz in it. And therefore, this is considered a situation of a hezek shein and nikar. Or hamadame, one mixes truma into chulin, and to a degree that the truma is not bottle. And now, this food, the chula food, which was previously food that could be eaten both by Kohanim and Yisraelim, now attains the status of truma, which may be only eaten by Kohanim, and therefore is a lot less valuable because the only customers that could purchase it are Kohanim. Or HaMenasech, we'll discuss in a moment in the Gemara what the definition of the word Menasech is. In all these situations, b'shoyig potter, if he did this b'shoyig, he's potter, and if he did it b'mezid, he's chayif. Says the Gemara, itmar, menasech. What is the definition of the word menasech? Rav Amar, menasech mamish. The definition of menasech is that somebody took wine and he used it for avodah zarah, that wine becomes osur b'hano, yayin nesach. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel said the definition of menasech is ma'ariv, that he mixed together kosher wine together with yayin nesach. Although there is a discussion, point out the Mefarshim in the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah, if we mix together yayin nesach with kosher wine, can that wine be sold to a non-Jew minus the value of the yayin nesach in the mixture? It seems that our Gemara that says that this wine has no value follows the opinion that wine that's mixed together, yayin nesach and regular wine that's mixed, kosher wine that's mixed together, one can't have hano from any part of the wine, because otherwise, why is it considered a hezek? It still has value. It could be sold to a guy. But other Mefarshim say that even if our Gemara follows the opinion that yayin nesach can, that's mixed together with kosher wine, we could sell it to a non-Jew minus the value of the yayin nesach in the mixture. Since again, the value of this mixture is a lot less than plain kosher wine, because the only person that could buy it are goyim. Therefore, it's considered a situation of hezek. So we have the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, how to explain Hezek, what the case of Menasech was. Ask the Gemara, Mandom and Ma'ariv, the Mandom that said the definition of Menasech in our Mishnah, is that he mixed together kosher wine and non-kosher wine. My tamaloyam menasich. Why doesn't it say that it means menasich? And as Mefarshim explained the Gemara's question, the word menasich means making the wine into yayin nesach. So why is Shmuel deviating and not explaining the word as it should be? Amalach answers Shmuel, menasich kamle b'drabbanei. We know throughout Shas there's a rule kamle b'drabbanei that if somebody does an avera for which there are two punishments, we only give the more serious punishment. Here, since according to Rav, the definition of menasech is that he made yayin nesach, which is avodah zarah, for which there's a chiv misa, so we say kimam midrabnei, and there certainly wouldn't be any monetary obligation. And as the mefarshim go on to explain, our mishnah is referring to a situation of Shogig, and Shogig there is no Chiv Misa. So the Mefarshim explained that we've learned many times that the concept of Kimle B'Drabnei is applied even in a situation where there is not going to actually be a Chiv Misa. But if somebody did an Avera that there is a Chiv Misa for this Avera, we apply the concept of Kimle B'Drabnei. So ask the Gemara V'idach, so how does Rav defend his position, where Rav says that our Mishnah is referring to Menasech, and there's a chiv tashlumim, there's a monetary obligation. Why don't we say Kimle Midrabanei? Answers the Gemara, Kid Rabbi Yirmiya, as Rav Yirmiya explained, Dom Rabbi Yirmiya, Mishasek Bohu Dekona, Mishai Menafshoi, Lo Havet Hashas Nisuch. One of the basic rules in Kimle Midrabanei is that we only apply Kimle Midrabanei when both punishments come simultaneously. But if one punishment comes before the other, then we don't say Kimle Midrabanei. And that, it says Rabbi Yirmiya, is the case of our Mishnah. The Chiv Mammon came as soon as he picked up the wine, the Gzela. The Chiv Misa only came later when he actually poured the wine for Avodah Zarah. So what is Shmuel, why doesn't Shmuel now agree with Rav's opinion and explain our Mishnah as Rabbi Yirmiya does? Says Tosfos that Shmuel holds that if somebody picked up the wine with the intention to steal it and to use it for Avodah Zarah, since picking up the wine is part of the process of ultimately pouring it b'shem avodah zarah, we don't look at that ma'isa hagbah as a separate act from the separate nisuch, from the act of nisuch. Rather, we look at it as one long act of nisuch that cannot be separated in two, and therefore the halacha is that we should apply the concept of kimle midrabanei. The Mefarshim used the concept of Rav Yirmiya to explain a medrash. The medrash says on the pasuk in the Shira of Hayom Ra Ven Yonos, Ma Ra Ruchush Shamitzrayim Ra. And the question is, what is it? Sort of Mitzrayim's Ruchush. And the Farshim asks, what does the medrash mean? The Farshim answered that what was bothering the medrash was the question, how come the Mitzrayim both lost their lives by Kriyas Yamsuf and also lost their fortune? We just learned as a concept of Kimle Midrabanei. So the Medrash comes to answer that question and says that we only don't say Kimle Midrabanei if both come at the exact same time. But if they don't come at the exact same time, we don't say Kimle Midrabanei. And that's what happened here. As soon as the Mitzrayim jumped after Klal Yisrael into the Yam Suf, they lost their money, and Klal Yisrael became the owners of their Ruchosh. However, the Misa only came later, And that's what the Medrash comes to teach us. Ma ro hayom v'yonis, how did the Yam allow Klal Yisrael to take the Bezis Mitzrayim? Because v'yonis, it waited to kill them until they took the money, and therefore these two things did not happen simultaneously, and we could apply the concept of Kimlei v'Midrapanei. Ask the Gemara, v'lamandam v'menasach, according to Rav's interpretation of the word Menasach, means actually Nisach. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, Lama Ma'arav, why didn't he define Menasach as Shmuel did, to be Ma'arav, that he mixed kosher wine and non-kosher wine together? Ask the Ksav Sofer, didn't we just say that Rav's definition of Menasach is the preferable definition, because he teaches the word Menasach as the word really means that he did Nisach? Answers the Ksav Sofer. After the Gemara just now had to explain that the only way we could understand the Mishnah according to Rav's interpretation of Menasach is by applying Rabbi Yirmiyah's interpretation, so the Gemara's question is, wouldn't it be better just to follow Shmuel's interpretation of Ma'ariv versus explaining it as Rav explains it as Menasach and needing to apply Rabbi Yirmiyah's point? Amalach, to this Rav answers you, Ma'ariv, to say that Menasach means a situation of Ma'ariv, that he mixed the kosher and non-kosher wine together, that we already have in the Mishnah, because Hayne Medama, that is a situation where the same as he mixed kosher chulin and truma food together. V'idach, now we have a question on Shmuel. If according to Shmuel, the definition of the word Menasach means that he mixed kosher wine and non-kosher wine together, and the definition of the word Medame is that he mixed truma and chulin together, so why does the Mishnah have to speak about two similar situations? Answers the Gemara, Shmuel is of the opinion that the cases of our Mishnah are situations of knasa, of a knas, that because Shmuel follows the opinion that hezek shein and nikar loishmei hezek, and therefore it's only a situation of knas. And knas meknas loyapina, we can't learn one situation of knas from another situation of knas. As the Mefarshim explain, Chazal had their specific reasons when to apply to say that a knas is warranted and when to say that a knas is not warranted, whether because there was a specific reason or there was a specific situation that caused them to say this. And we can't extrapolate from one situation to another situation, and therefore the Mishnah has to mention each situation separately. Rav, however, on the other hand, says that Rav doesn't agree with this concept. And Rav says we can learn one situation of knas from another situation of knas. And therefore, the Gemara is asking why, according to Rav, the Gemara couldn't say the Menasach is that he mixed kosher and non-kosher together, for that's similar to Medame, and that's why Rav had no choice but to explain the Menasach means actual Nisach, applying with it Rabbi Yirmiyah's interpretation. Ask the Gemara, well, the Yal of Knos Meknosa, according to Rav, that does learn one situation of Knas from another situation of Knas, why do we have to have all the cases of our Mishnah listed? Kol Hani Lomali, answers the Gemara Tzricha. Deitana Matamei, if we would have only had the case of Matamei, so we would say the following. Itruma, if the Mishnah is referring to a situation where somebody was Matamei Truma, have a mina, he makes the truma worthless, because the halacha is one may not eat truma tameya. Ask the Merav Mei Sada, why doesn't the Gemara say a different teretz? The pasuk uses the words vani nosati lechem es mishmeres trumasi. The one is obligated to make sure that the truma remains tahor. So why does the Gemara say that the chumrah of truma is, could the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that we have to keep the truma tahor? Answers the Merav Mei Sada, that obligation of es mishmeres trumasi is only said to Kohanim. Our Mishnah is speaking to everyone, and therefore the Gemara, even to Yisraelim, and therefore the Gemara cannot give that answer. And if we're referring in our Mishnah to a situation where somebody was metamei chulin, because that too, I would say we're more machmer on, mishum dosa ligram tuma lechulin shvetisrol. We're not allowed to cause tuma to chulin and etisrol. And the Mefarshim give two explanations as to why. One reason is because there are people, Purushim, who are careful to never eat chulin that is tameh, and therefore we have to make sure that chulin remains tahar. Another reason that's given is mishum srach truma. Since we just explained that we're not allowed to cause that truma should be tameh, we have to make sure that all food should not be tameh, not to confuse it with truma. And the Mefarshim explain what is the difference between these two explanations. The difference is what kind of food do we have to be careful not to, what kind of chulin food do we have to be careful not to let become tameh? If the reason is because we're concerned about Purushim who only eat food that's tahar, so it makes no difference if it's produce, it's meat, any type of food. But if the concern is a shrach truma, that we're concerned that there should be confusion with truma, only produce is subject to truma, but something like meat would not be subject to this concern. Av medame, in a case where somebody mixed truma into chulin, emaloi, since he hasn't done anything wrong, nor has he ruined the produce, because as we explained in the Mishnah, food, truma and chulin mixed together could still be eaten by kohanim. There perhaps Chazal didn't make a gzeira. On the other hand, v'yashmina medame, if the Mishnah only had taught us the case of medame, I would think mishum d'shchiach. This is something that happens more often, since it doesn't involve any isser, and it doesn't cause the food to be permanently prohibited. Av metame, the loy shchiach, but tuma that isn't that common, for the reasons that we just gave, a maloi, maybe there we should say that Chazal didn't find it necessary to give a knas. That's why we had to mention both the case of metame and medame. V'yashvina metame medame, Hana Mishnah only taught us the cases of metame and medame. I would say, mishum d'lekimle v'drabne, there is no question of a chiv misa in these situations. However, av menasech, by Menasech, as we said at the beginning of our shir, that there's possibly a case of Kimle Rabbanei here, that there's a Chiv Misa, a Maloi. Therefore, I should say there is no monetary obligation, Kamash Malon. That's why our Mishnah teaches, as Rav Yirmiya taught us, that there could be a Chiv, there could be a monetary obligation here also. Ask the Gemara. There's another Braisa, however. The other Braisa says different explanations, different cases of a Hezek Sheina Nikar. And again, we need to understand how we understand this Braisa, why we need all these different cases that the Braisa mentions. Well, how the Tani Avud Reb Ovin? B'Rishoyna Hayu Oimrim HaMetameh Menasech. Originally, Chazal said that Metameh and Menasech have an obligation to pay. Chazru Loimah. And then they went on and said, Af Hamadame, even the case of Hamadame. The question is, why do we need all these cases? Kol Hani Lomeli, why do we have to mention all these cases? Says the Gemara Tzricha, all the cases unnecessary. The Ashmina Matame, if we only mention the case of Matame, Mishlam Dolay Kimlai B'drabane. As we said before, there is no Kimlai B'drabane. There's never Chiv Misa by being Matame, whether it's Truma or Chulin. Ava Manasech, there's a concept of Kimle B'drabanei possibly, because there's a Chiv Misa for being Menasech wine. Emeloi, perhaps Chazal didn't bring a monetary obligation. V'yashmina Menasech, if I would only speak about Menasech, v'shonukam masalei legamri, wine that becomes Yayin Nesach is totally prohibited for use. Av metame, delay masalei legamri. If somebody is metame, truma even, it doesn't become totally worthless. It could still be used for animal food, or it could be used for fuel. So the Mefarshim ask, the Gemara a moment ago said that what is the difference between metame and medame? The metame makes the food totally useless, totally worthless. And now it's saying just the opposite. The metame doesn't make the food totally worthless. Answers Tosfos that everything is relative. When we compare metame to medame, where in the case of medame, the food still can be even eaten. In the case of metame, the food cannot be eaten. Metame is considered a total damage. But here we're comparing metame to menasech. Menasech creates a situation where the food is more worthless than metame. And therefore, metame is relatively less severe than menasech, but it is more severe in terms of its being able to be eaten or not than medame. Av metame, the lemasla legamrei emaloi. I would think that the Mishnah there would be no obligation to pay. That's why we had to mention metame separately. If we only mention the two cases of metame and medame, from the hefsed meruba, because there's a very significant hefsed, as we just said, a significant loss. By menasech, the wine becomes totally prohibited to be drunk. By metame, the truma that becomes tame could only be used as fuel or animal food. Av metame, but in a case where somebody mixed truma and chulin, where the loss is less, the hefset mut, it's a much lower level of loss. Eim aloi, maybe there should be no monetary penalty. That's why the Mishnah had mentioned even this case of tzrichet, the case of medame. So now the Gemara focuses on the actual din of Hezek Shen and Nikar. Amachiski, Dva Torah, Midaraisa, Echad Shogig Vechamezid, both if somebody was Mazik, Bishogig, or Bemezid, in a case of Hezek Shen and Nikar, he ought to be Chayiv, he ought to be liable. My Tama, because Hezek Shen and Nikar, Shmei Hezek. Or my Tam, Omer Bishogig Potter. Why did Chazal say that somebody is potter b'shagig? Kedei sheyidiyoi. We want that the person should notify us that this happened. If he's going to be penalized, it's going to be a deterrent from him telling us what really happened. Ask the Gemara, if we want the person to come forth and tell us what happened, and that's why we're being lenient by a shagig. So if so, I feel b'mezid nami. So we ought to be lenient by a mezid also with the concern that the person will otherwise not come forth and tell us what happened. Answers the Gemara, hashta lazuki kamachavin. This person deliberately was mazik someone else. He wants the person to feel the pain. And therefore, he's going to tell us what happened. So the Pesach can make a number of observations. If the only reason by Shogig Chizkiya is being lenient, because we want him to come forth, so if in a case where we already are aware that what happened, we don't need his admission, then according to Chizkiya, even if it was a Hezek Shen and Nikar b'Shogig, he ought to pay, because the only reason we're being lenient is because we want him to admit. I don't need his admission. We know it from Adam without his admission, and he ought to pay. And that indeed is the opinion of the Pnei Yeshua. However, Bekiva Eger says that even though conceptually, logically, Rabbi Chizkiya should make a distinction between a shogig that we independently are aware of versus a shogig that we're not independently aware of, still, once Chizkiya taught us, once Chazal taught us that a Hezek Shen and Nikar b'Shogig is Potter, we say Loy Plug, even in a case where we're aware of the Shogig without his knowledge. The Chazanish points out that according to this understanding, if somebody was Metama b'Pshia, he was Metama someone else's food because of negligence, says the Chazanish, Chizkiya's exemption would also apply, because again, since it wasn't deliberate, it was just because of negligence, we should be concerned that the person otherwise won't come forward. come forth to tell us what happened. Reb Yochanan, however, holds Dvar Torah Echad Shogeg Echad Meizah Potter. Really, he should always be Potter my Tama for the reason that Hezek Shena Nikar Loishme Hezek. So, if so, Ma Tam Omer B'Meizet Chayiv. Why would Chazal tell us by Meizet is Chayiv for Knas? If a person wants to cause trouble for his friend, he'll go and be metama his tar food, Vimer, and he'll say potter on thee, because he'll learn our Gemara that just taught us hazik shen and nikol shmeizik. That's why Chazal penalized him that he has to pay the hezek even if it's a situation of hezek shen and nikol. And as the mefarshim point out, the difference between Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan will be even in a case of Memezid, where he was Maida B'Knas, he admitted what he did. Chizki, if the person came forth and admitted, according to Rabbi Yochanan rather, if the person came forth and admitted what he did, since it's the entire penalty here is only a Knas, the Aloch is Maida B'Knas Potter, and he won't have to pay. On the other hand, according to Chizkia, where it's a situation of Hezek Shen and Nikah Shmei Hezek, even if he was Maida, it wouldn't give him an exemption. Another nafgamina is that we know that the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin that nowadays that we don't have Bezdin Smuchim, Bezdin Din that have the proper Smicha, we don't give out Knas punishments. So according to Chizkia, that in the case of Hezek Shein and Nikar, it's not because of a Knas, it's because it's considered a real situation of damage, so that even applies nowadays. However, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Dine Knas do not apply nowadays, and Bezdin cannot penalize someone, punish someone to pay this Knas. The Shach points out that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that this is a penalty, that if somebody was mazik, hezek shen and nikar, he b'mezid, that the din would not only be if he did so b'mezid, that Chazal punished him, but even if he did it b'pshia, by negligence, not just deliberately, but he did it because of negligence, Rabbi Yochanan again would say that he is deserving of this punishment. It seems that other paiskim may disagree with the Shach's opinion. Says the Gemara, Tanan, we're going to learn a Mishnah in Daf Mem Dalet. The Mishnah says, HaKohanim Shepiglu B'Migdash. If Kohanim made Karbonos into Pigel, if they did it B'Mezit, Chayovim. V'Tanei Allah, and we explained, V'Mnei Tikkun Oilam. The reason they're Chayiv is because V'Mnei Tikkun Oilam. Ask the Gemara if Chizki is correct. Vi Amrit Hezek Shein and Nikar Shmei Hezek Hai Shogim Keturim Bnei Tikkun Oilam Mibayalei. As the Mefarshim explained the Gemara's question, this really should be a situation that is Chayiv. Making a carbon into Pigel is a situation of a Hezek Shein and Nikar. If we say Hezek Shein and Nikar Shmei Hezek, he really should be Chayiv both B'Mezid and B'Shogig. Just Chazal, as we just explained, according to Chizkiya, gave an exemption b'shaygig. But this Mishnah says just the opposite. The Mishnah seems to be saying that he really is supposed to be potter. We're just saying that he's chayiv b'mezid. Isn't that a clear proof to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion? Says the Gemara, hachi nami kamar. The way to understand that Mishnah is as follows. Mezidin chayovim, if they did it b'mezid, he's chayiv. Why? Because hezek shein and nikar shmei hezek hashoygig p'turim. But if he did it, b'shoygig, he's potter. Because tikkun oilam, we want him to come forth and admit to what he did. The Rishonim ask that we know that pigel happens through a machshava only. That somebody has, the kohen has the wrong machshava, that he's going to eat the carbon at the wrong time, he's going to do the avodah at the wrong time in the wrong place. So certainly this is not considered a maisa hezek. It's a machshava. Answer the Rishonim. Since the machshava of pigul, for it to be considered pigul, has to be done during an act of the carbon, of the act of bringing mak the carbon during shechita, or one of the other acts of bringing the carbon, it's considered, say the Rishonim, a situation of a maisa, not just a machshava. On the other hand, I saw Mefarshim ask the question, on the other hand, why isn't this considered a maisa? Because now that he ended up making the carbon pigul, his maisa shchita, his act of shechting the carbon, was an unacceptable act of shchita. Shchita is an act, it's a noticeable act. So the Rishonim say again that there's nothing wrong with the shchita. The shchita for itself is a perfectly fine shchita, and therefore it's only the machshavas pigul that was attached to the maisa shchita, and that's why it's considered a situation of a hezek sheninik. Mefarshim ask, why is there bechlal a shaila of hezek? We know, we just discussed this the other day, that the Torah, when it speaks about hezek, says the words shor re'ehu, that there is no concept of hezek by hegdish. It's only re'ehu, my colleague's shor, not hegdish's shor. So how could there ever be a question of hezek by hegdish? So I saw two answers. One answer is that exemption of shor re'ehu is only when my property, my axe, does damage to hegdish. There is a distinction between hegdish and non-hegdish. Here it's me myself, it's the Kohen himself making hezek. There is no exemption of hegdish. Another teretz is that the person who brought the carbon, he wanted his carbon to be brought. Now the Kohen disqualified his carbon, and the person has a loss. He wanted a carbon to be brought, and he loses that. That's not considered a loss to hegdish. That's considered a loss to my colleague, to the Kohen's the person that the Kohen was bringing the carbon on his behalf. The Shaila Tshuvos, Tshuvos and Haggis from Moshe Sternbach uses this Gemara says that this Gemara is used to discuss a very interesting question. We know when someone is mazik someone else, when someone damages someone else, let's say I damage someone else's suit. So the question that comes up is, how do we evaluate the loss? Do we evaluate the loss at what the suit is worth? And probably the suit is not very valuable, because my suit that I already wore doesn't have much value in the market. Or is it to be evaluated according to the replacement cost? This suit is a fine suit. I was very satisfied with the suit, and now that it got ruined and I have to buy a new suit, I should evaluate it at the value of the cost of a new suit. And the Paiskim discuss how we make the evaluation. And they want to suggest that our Gemara is considered a hezek. But this animal has no value in the market, because we're not allowed to sell hegdish animals. And if our Gemara still said that there should be a situation of hezek, isn't this a proof that we look at what it's worth to me, not what it's worth in the market? Says that, and this is in fact the proof that some Paiskim use, that when we evaluate hezek, we look at what it's worth to me, not what it's worth in the market. However, Rav Moshe Sternbach says that our Gemara is not really a proof. Because the reason an animal that's hegdish cannot be sold is not because there's anything wrong with the animal. The animal is a perfectly fine animal. There's a separate din that the Torah says that hegdish animals may not be sold. And that can't be used as a proof to this question. Master Rav Elazar. So Rav Elazar asked the following question. The halacha is that oisim melacha b'meichatis, if somebody does melacha with the water that the paraduma ashes are going to be poured into, or with paras chatis, or with the paraduma itself, pat medine adam, he's pat medine adam v'chai medine shemayim, because it's a hezek shein nikker. Nothing, as we explained earlier, in defining what hezek shein nikker is, the water is the same water. The animal is the same animal. It's only a hezek shein nikker, and therefore pat medine adam v'chai medine shemayim. He's only chai medine shemayim. I saw the Mefarshim discuss what does it mean chai medine shemayim. Some say that if somebody wants to do the right thing, even though it's not considered a hezek, he should still pay for what he did. Others explain what chai b'dinei shemayim means, that he doesn't have to pay. The Torah doesn't obligate him to pay, he doesn't have to pay. However, min shemayim, he's going to have to give a din v'chesed for what he did. Ask the Gemara, v'amrit hezek shen nikur shmei hezek b'dinei adam nami l'chayiv. He should be even chayiv b'dinei adam, because even though it's a situation of hezek shen nikur. The Rishonim discuss until what point one may not do any work with the mechatis. Most Rishonim are of the opinion it's only until the ashes of the paraduma are mixed into the water. But once the ashes are mixed into the water could, there's no concern. The Miri seems to say that even afterwards, there may be a concern. So, isn't this a proof that Hezek Shen and Nikur Loishme Hezek? Says the Gemara, whom Moisiv Lovu, whom Mefarakli? He's the one that asked the question, he answered it. Para is the situation, Shechnisa Lerivka. He took the para into a barn, Amnas Shetinik, in order that it should suckle from its mother, v'todesh, and it also should thresh grain there. Since the act alone doesn't disqualify the para aduma, it's only his intention that disqualifies it. That's not a situation even of hezek shen and nikur. Mechatis, a situation sheshokel b'mishkolos. We used it to use it as a weight, and therefore, it's not even considered a situation of hezek shen and nikur, because it's only an intention; it's not an act. Ask the Gemara, v'amar Rava mechatis sheshokel b'mishkolos. If you did use the mechatis to weigh objects, kshera, so why are we saying that it's referring to a situation that he used it for mishkolos and it becomes posel? Answers the Gemara like Asha, haba gufan, haba kenegdan. And there are two ways that we could explain that them being used as a weight. One is the situation is that he put an object into the water to weigh it by means of displacement. That is a situation where the water becomes disqualified. I'll be connected on in, because he actually put the water into the, they put the meat into the water. The water was actually used. I'll be connected on. Rava speaks a case where he weighed an object against the water. We knew that the water, let's say, weighs a gallon. So now we weighed another object, see if it's equal or less or more. That's not considered performing work with the water at all. Ask the Gemara, if we're explaining begufon, that he actually used the water, so masakavit behu. So we go back to what we spoke about earlier, that he actually performed an act of with the water. And if we're of the opinion that hezek shen and nikur shmei hezek, so Chizki's opinion, so then we're back to our question, why is he only chay b'dinei shemayim? B'dinei odom nami l'chayv, he ought to be chayv in b'dinei odom, because it's considered an act of hezek. So the Gemara, ili v'idei b'kenegdom. Both are a situation, we didn't do anything with the water itself. V'loi kasha. Hada asach date. The case that he's chayv is where he didn't, he neglected to think about the water the entire time, and the halach is that the mechatis, one has to think about them the entire time. If he was a mesiach das and he didn't do anything with the water itself, that's why he's potter. Ask the Chazon Ish. We're talking here that I have mechatis and someone went and took that water and used it as a weight. And it's, the concern here is Hesach Hadas. But how could the Shomer disqualify it because of Hesach Hadas? I'm still thinking about it, and I'm the owner of the water. Answers the Chazon Ish, that the situation here is that I had Mechatis in my home. The obligation of watching Mechatis, says the Chazon Ish, does not require that I think about the Mechatis all of the time. If I put it in my house in a safe place, that's considered that I'm properly watching it. Now what happened was, somebody went and took that water, unbeknownst to me, to an unguarded place. And that becomes a situation of Hesach Hadas. Mas Rapapa, as Rapapa, again on Chizki's opinion that he holds Hezek Shen and Nikoloi Shmei Hezek. It says in a Braisa, Gozel Matbe, even if so, somebody stole a coin and then it was taken out of circulation. Truma v'nitmas. Well, I took Truma and it became Tomei. Chometz v'avavav Pesach. Oy Meloi, I could tell the person, Hareshel Chol Fanecha. I give it back to you as it is. V'amin Hezek Shen and Nikoshmei Hezek. Hi Gazlan Hu. I gave, by the time I gave it back to you, it was worthless. And therefore, according to this man, the Omer, Memoinim Alya, by Shlume, I should have to pay damages, says the Gemara. The fact that I don't, to Yufta, we clearly see that Hezek Shen and Nikar Loi Shmei Hezek. The Paiskim discussed this concept that we're saying now, that if I stole something from someone else, even though it became worthless, I could give it back. They say, and one example was Chometz. So the Stipler says, the fact that Chometz now got a shame Isser, till now it was food that was permitted, and now it became food that's prohibited, that doesn't change what it inherently is. And furthermore, the Shalos HaTshuvos Oinig Yontov say that even though it became an Isser Hanor, something that I can't have benefit from, that doesn't change that it's still food. However, I saw that the Prima Gadim and the Pesachei Tshuva discuss a situation of an esrig. If I stole an esrig from someone before Sukkot, and now I return it to him after Sukkot, can I say Hareshel Chalav Fanecha? And the Prima Gadim says, based on our Gemara, that of course we should be able to say there, in that case also, Hareshel Chalav Fanecha. But the Pesachei Tshuva says it's different. Chometz is food. It's food before Pesach, it's food after Pesach. There may be Isser attached to this food because it's chametz, but food it is. And Esrig, entire real value is only as the mitzvah of Dalam Minim, which really isn't applicable after Sukkot. I saw Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein uses this concept of Hareshel Chalav Fanecha to discuss a very interesting question. The question comes up that somebody's staying in a hotel, and in his room in the hotel there's a refrigerator where there are different drinks that one could purchase, but the price of those drinks are very high. So the person goes and intends, he'll take a bottle of water, but instead of paying the price that they charge for the water, which is a very high price, he thinks that tomorrow morning he'll go to the store and he'll buy the exact same bottle of water and put it back in the fridge. May he do that or not? Says Rav Zilberstein that certainly he may not. Certainly, if he doesn't intend to do the wrong thing, the condition of taking something from that refrigerator, the condition with the hotel is that as soon as you take it, you're obligated to pay for it. And even, says Rav Zilberstein, let's say my intention is to be a gazlan. I'm going to steal it and then return the other bottle of water with the concept that I just learned in the Gemara of Hareshel Chalav Fanecha. We can't apply the concept of Hareshel Chalav Fanecha in such a situation, says Rav Zilberstein. Because we only could say Hareshel Chalav Fanecha when I'm putting back the exact same item that I took, even though the item lost its value, chometz after Pesach, for example. But here, where I drank one bottle of water, and I'm returning another bottle of water, even though it's the same type of bottle and it's the same company, etc., it's not the bottle that I took. And there, we certainly cannot say Hareshel Chalav Fanecha. Suggest the Gemara, even though, as the Rishonim point out, we just completed refuting Chizki's opinion, the Gemara now wants to suggest that maybe it's really the subject of Machloikas Tanoim. Lema Ketanoim, Hamatam v'Madam v'Manasach, Echad Shoygig v'Echad Mezet, Chayiv, Divrei Meir. Rav Yehuda Omer, B'Shoygig, Potter, B'Mezet, Chayiv. My love, isn't the Machloikas Tanoim Rav Yehuda, B'Hokam Efki. The Masov, Remeya holds Hezek Shen and Nikar Shmei Hezek, and therefore he's always Chayiv. Masov and Reb Yehuda holds Loi Shmei Hezek, and therefore he really ought to always be Potter. Just B'mezid, Chazal punished him. Omer of Nachman Yitzchak, we don't have to explain the Machlokes this way. It could well be the Kulei Alma holds Hezek Shen and Nikar Loi Shmei Hezek. And what is the machloikis of Remei and Rabbi Yehuda? A different machloikis. Machloikis is, becomes a shoygig ata mezik ha-mifgi. Do we also penalize shoygig because of mezik? the mass of Remez says Kansu Shagi got the Mezid, or mass of Rabbi Yehuda holds Loi Kansu Shagi got the Mezid. Ask the Gemara, is this the proper way of understanding Remei and Rabbi Yehuda's opinions? Rami, if this is the way we're going to understand their opinions, Rami the Remei ad Remei, Rami the Rabbi Yehuda, we'll have a contradiction in the opinion of Remei, we'll have a contradiction in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Hamavashel b'Shabbos, if one cooks food on Shabbos, b'Shagig, if he did so b'Shagig, Yoichel. Remei holds everybody, both the person who cooked the food and everyone else, could eat the food on Shabbos itself. B'mezid, if he did it on purpose, lo yoichel, he may not eat the food. He himself who cooked the food can never eat the food, and others are permitted to eat it after Shabbos. Divrei Remeya. Rabbi Hudaimer, b'shoigig yoichel to Shabbos, if he cooked the food b'shoigig, he could eat the food after Shabbos, and as Rashi says, he asked the wait on Matzah Shabbos, the time it takes to cook the food, and others who didn't do anything wrong could eat the food even on Shabbos. B'mezid lo yoichel olamis. If he did it b'mezid, he can never eat the food. Others, however, can eat the food according to Rabbi Yehuda after Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan Sandloimer, b'shoigig yoichel, if he did a b'shoigig, it could be eaten on Matzah Shabbos. It could be eaten on Matzah Shabbos lacherim v'loy loy. But mezid, if it was done with mezid, lo yoichel olamus, it may never be eaten loy loy, not to he who cooked the food v'loy lacherim, and not to others. So according to our explanation of Rameya, the Rameya holds kontzu shoigig got to mezid. Rabbi Yehuda holds loy kontzu shoigig got to mezid. We have a kashid Rameya Rameya, because here Rameya is not treating shoigig. By Mavash B'Shabbos, Ramey is not treating Shoyig as he treats Mezid, and Kash Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. By Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda treats Shoyig like he treated Mezid. In our Gemara, he didn't. Answered the Gemara, the Ramey ad Ramey loy Kasha. Kikonis, when did Rabbi Meir say Kontra Shoyig at the Mezid? But Rabbonin, in a case like the case that we're discussing in our Gemara of a Hezek Shen and Nikar, which is only awesome at Rabbonin, but the Raisa, however, in Vashel B'Shabbos, which is Issa de Raisa, like Konis, there Rameya says we don't say Kansu Shoyig got the Mezid. Ask the Gemara, but the way we're explaining Menasech, which means that he made the wine into Yayin Nesach, that's a case of the Raisa. And yet we're seeing that according to Rameya, Kokonis, he does treat Shoyig and Mezid the same way. Answers the Gemara, usually by the Raisa, Rameya does not say Shoyig got the Mezid. But Avodah Zarah is more stringent. And not only does it penalize a mezid, but even a shaykik. Rabbi Yehuda like Kasha, ki like Konis. When does Rabbi Yehuda say we don't say that we treat shaykik like mezid? But Rabbanan, our case of Hezek Shen and Nikar. But the Raisa, but the case of Shabbos, where it's an issue of the Raisa, he says, Kansu shaykik ato mezid. Ask the Gemara, for Menasech is a case of a Doraisa, and yet we see V'leikonis, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't treat Shoyig like he treats Mezid. Answers the Gemara, B'shum Chumad Avodah Kochavim, since Avodah Zorah is a very serious Avera, Mivdal B'dilim Minei, people stay away from that Avera, and therefore even though it's an Issa Doraisa, Rabbi Yehuda does not apply his concept of Kansu Shoyig Atu Mezid.